As we mentioned earlier, the news reports coming out of Okuma in Japan about the Fukushima Daiichi plants there is constantly being updated, and some of them seem confusing and conflicting. We want to try and help you understand it.
If we're confused here, imagine how nervous they must be in Japan.
Absolutely. We want to try and kind of get to the bottom of exactly what's happening, if we can. And to help us do that, we've got Andrew Kadek with us, former professor of nuclear science and engineering at MIT. Also, with us all hour long in studio is Robert Hernan, author of This Borrowed Earth, Lessons from the 15 Worst Environmental Disasters Around the World. Unfortunately, you know, John said that every time we see you, Robert, something bad has happened. And something as bad has happened here. I want to kind of get an idea from you, Robert, about why we're getting so many seemingly conflicting and confusing reports coming out of this nuclear plant.
It's typical. I mean, we saw that with the Russians, who actually suppressed a lot of the information until the Swedish government revealed the fact that there had been a nuclear explosion.
At Chernobyl, yeah.
And partly it's just the confusion of people scrambling to try and make shift responses that they've never done before, and so they don't have time to give the information. We're desperate for information about the radiation levels and what they mean, and we're not getting that from the government. We're certainly not getting it from the electrical company. The same thing happened at Three Mile Island. There was conflicting stories, so it undermines the credibility of the electric company and eventually the government after a while for people to trust what they're saying.
Well, Andrew Kadek, maybe you can help me explain a little bit of what's going on. First of all, we were hearing reports this morning about spiking radiation levels, that they very suddenly but also very temporarily rose to incredibly high levels and have now dropped back down to levels which are not dangerous to humankind. How does that happen?
Well, typically what happens is when there's a release of radiation, it's a temporary thing and then it stops, which causes the temporary elevation. But, you know, just to put yourself in place of what they're trying to do there at Fukushima, they're trying to manage a disaster, first caused by the earthquake, and then really the major damage appears to be caused by the greatest, you know, wave. They had designed this facility to withstand a 7-meter tidal wave, and I'm sorry, a 6-meter or 6-plus-meter tidal wave, and they got a 7-meter tidal wave, and that water just inundated, as you've seen in the films on television. It inundated all the systems that were designed to protect the reactor in terms of providing cooling water.
Well, Andrew,
without those systems, it's very hard to provide cooling, so they've had to go to extraordinary means to try to provide cooling from the ocean. And that they've been able to do for, all of the three reactors at this point.
But still, there are limitations and apparently vulnerabilities to even that seawater cooling system, which we should point out actually sacrifices the reactors. They'll never be used again. Distinguish, if you could, Andrew Kadek, between the two types of radiation emissions that they're talking about this morning. There's a leak from the core itself, which would be one signature of radiation, but they're also talking about fires in spent fuel pools, which are uncovered and heat up and cause their own kinds of radioactive emissions. Is there different levels of toxicity? What are the substances here?
That's not actually correct. It's the fuel is the failing material, and that the radiation coming from the fuel is the same whether it's in the spent fuel pool or in the reactor itself. But what I understand is that the reactor systems of the three units that are still in danger, if you will, they are providing cooling. And I think I heard on unit number two, this so-called containment has developed some kind of a leak or a crack based on a recent explosion, but that has not been confirmed. What you're referring to is in these reactors, the spent fuel is stored in pools adjacent to the reactor vessel, and that may have been uncovered, causing the release of that recent radiation. But they also claim that there was some kind of a fire in that building as well, which, you know, whether that was due to a zirconium fire, it's just not clear. The problem really is, you know, when the Japanese speak, there's a translation, and it's very hard to interpret what they say, and I've read many of their press releases and listen to many of their commentary. And it's very hard to interpret that into what we understand in English to be systems that would be failing or affected. And just to give you a sense of what it must be like in that at the plants, I mean, they're struggling to provide cooling water, which is the key factor to maintain the stability of that plant. And as they do that, you know, they're very, very busy. And what people in Tokyo know is really related by the plant staff, who are, as I said, extremely occupied, and some cases really don't know exactly what's happening in the reactor.
We're speaking to Andrew Kadek. He's a former professor of nuclear science and engineering at MIT. Also with us all hour long is Robert Hernan, author of This Borrowed Earth, Lessons from the 15 Worst Environmental Disasters Around the World. And one of those environmental disasters that you already referred to was Chernobyl. Those comparisons are already being made, although it's probably too early to do so. But one thing that perhaps, Robert, we can take comfort from is that the Japanese government has acted very quickly in getting people evacuated from the area. As John was saying earlier, there's only 50 workers left at this plant. And also, there's a difference in the explosions here. In Chernobyl, you had the steam explosion that exposed the reactor core, and so there's radiation shooting up in the atmosphere. So maybe the comparison between the Fukushima Daiichi plant and Chernobyl, it doesn't fit.
Yeah, I think it's the least helpful of comparison. Three Mile Island's a better comparison, but certainly Chernobyl, there was no outer containment, and that was critical, what happened at Chernobyl. When the reactor blew, it just blew it out into the atmosphere. There was nothing to contain it within the facility. And
totally
also,
different designs, too.
Different design, yeah. And a huge amount, 150 million curies of radioactive materials spewed out into that countryside.
So, Andrew, kind of the essential question here is whether or not that vault, the steel and concrete vault, is compromised. How soon do we know that?
Well, I think we know that routinely because of the radiation releases. But right now it appears that they are containing it. And as your guest there said, the difference between Chernobyl and this reactor is we have a containment. They did not. And if Three Mile Island is any lesson at all, it shows that even though the core can be destroyed and partially melted, the external effects would be limited if that containment holds.
That's Andrew Kadek, former professor of nuclear science and engineering at MIT, and Robert Hernan with us all hour long, author of This Borrowed Earth, Lessons from the 15 Worst Environmental Disasters Around the World. We're talking about what's going on in Okuma, Japan. That's where the Fukushima Daiichi plant is located, in which they've had four explosions. From what we understand, two of the reactors actually have cold shutdown at this point. Two of them are still in emergency situations. Thank you so much to both of you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.